The Senate Education and Workforce Committee, if you have a cell phone, please turn it on vibrate or turn it off. We are not going to hear Senate Bill 342 today. Marjorie?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 342 has already passed out of committee and it was amended. We are still in the process of getting the fiscal impact on that measure. However, we were approached to possibly amend the amendment that we already sent out of committee, but Senator Schrader has said no, he's fine with what we've already passed out, so we don't have to take care of that.
So if you are here on Senate Bill 342, we are not hearing that bill. It will just continue to move forward in the process.
Yes.
Which
we're halfway done
then. We are, which is, as far as I'm concerned, I think it was going down to Ways and Means. Okay, so I am going to open a work session on Senate Bill 860. We carried this bill over. Would you like to...
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 860 again was heard on Monday. At that time, Senator Walker had a pretty good discussion with members of the audience and came up with some compromise language. And we have a dash 2 amendment in your packet, and that amendment replaces the original bill. It requires school district boards to adopt wellness policies for their schools, defines what's to be included in that wellness policy. It requires that nutrition guidelines and standards to address foods and methods of sales be available at each of the schools in the district, and that nutrition guideline and standard also include information about the grade levels that have access to the different foods and the methods of those food sales and how long they're available for sale at schools. The amendment requires districts to approve wellness policies by the first day of the 2006-07 school year. It requires that districts have a wellness policy in place prior to entering into contracts related to sales of food, and requires districts to examine existing contracts upon their expiration or renewal. Districts are required to submit wellness policies to the Department of Education, and the department is to report on the implementation of this measure to the appropriate legislative interim education committees before October 1st of 2006 and to the next legislative assembly before February 1st of 2007.
Okay. I would like to get into a discussion about the dash 2. Should we probably have a motion on them first or have a discussion? Let's just have a discussion about them first, colleagues. I'd like to share with you how the dash 2s came about, because some of you had to leave early. We had the discussion in committee. I had a couple of work groups, spent many hours with these folks on all sides of the issue, and at the end of the hearing last, would have been Monday,
yeah.
On Monday, we stood around the dais here and hammered out some language. So let me just take you through what I had drafted as a result of that. You have at your desk a copy of the Child Nutrition Reauthorization, Section 204, Local Wellness Policy. And it was agreed at the work group, this is what is law now. This was part of the Child Nutrition Reauthorization Act. All school districts that receive federal money for reimbursable meal programs will have to adhere to this. So during the course of the work group, we determined that that's good, but we also thought that the sections from the task force report would be even better. So let me take you through the dash 2s and illustrate for you what is the federal law and what is what we added as a result of the task force information. So if you start on line 3 of the dash 2, the first thing that we added was the word written. The federal law doesn't explain that it's a written policy, and some felt that was necessary. The subsection 1 and the first sentence of subsection 2 are the federal law. And then the part on line 11 that says, copies of the nutrition guidelines and standards shall be available on each campus within the school district. The nutrition guidelines and standards shall address, and then it lists a series of things down to line 20. Those are not in the federal law either. Those were all things that were recommended in the task force that we thought would be good to add to this bill. So there you have it. You continue the foods of minimal nutritional value. That's not really listed in the law, but it's part of the school lunch program. Then on page 2 of the dash 2s, subsection 5, starting on line 2, all of that is in the federal law. Subsection 6, lines 9 through 13, all of that is in the federal law. Subsection 7, starting on line 14, that takes us through line 22, that's a combination of the federal law and the task force and the discussions I had here at the dais. The Wellness Policy Council is something we created. The federal law just says that the school districts must involve parents, students, and all of these folks in development of a policy. So we thought a Wellness Policy Council would be a good thing. It includes the people mentioned in the federal law, as well as the additional folks that interested parties wanted, the dietitian or healthcare professional. The last part of that I thought was extremely important, on line 20, the council shall hold open and public meetings that invite participation and promote a strategy for community engagement. I think that was really important, and it was to the advocates as well. The next section, section 2 on lines 23 through 25, the federal law says that it must be submitted by the first day of the school year, so that's pretty much federal law. The next two sections, lines 26 through 30 on page 2 of the amendment, I added that myself. No one mentioned that in the work group, and I thought that would be a good thing, that if you're going to enter into food contracts, that you must adhere to the food wellness, your wellness policy. If you have a policy already in place, if you have contracts in place prior to this policy being developed, you have to honor those contracts. So I put in there that upon the renewal date or expiration of a contract, then you must have a contract adhere to your new wellness policy. Subsection 4 on page 3, lines 5, actually the rest of page 3 is all new language. Each school district shall submit the wellness policy to the Department of Ed not later than the first day of the school year. That's not in the federal law. The next subsection 5, the department shall report on implementation by school districts of the wellness policies to legislative interim committees and also to the legislative assembly. That's something that the advocates wanted as well. I suspect, colleagues, that October 1, 2006 is a little too soon for the department to prepare a report, given that they're only going to have these policies in their hands for 30 days. But if that's a problem, I think the House can fix that, because that's not a big deal. So that is the lowdown on how the dash 2s were created, and I thought that I captured all of the concerns of the parties. And I see Mary Lou is here, and then I'd like to hear from the school boards to see if you two could come up. You're sort of the two groups, and just let me know if my understanding was correct about how I drafted these.
For the record, I'm Mary Lou Henrich from the Oregon Nutrition Policy Alliance, and I think, yes, you are correct that the wording in terms of, as far as it goes, the issues that we talked about at the dais, they all are here. I think we still have our want to be on record that we still are concerned that it doesn't give a specific statewide fallback if the districts individually don't do what we hope they'll do. But in terms of, you know, what we agreed here, that kind of taking the concept that we had last time and making it as good as you were willing to go, we did it.
Okay, so I captured everything we talked about. Other than banning foods, or
big leap. Yes, okay, that's the big leap that we want. Yeah. But for the small leap,
okay. May I ask?
Yes, you may.
This may make a difference on what I do today. Did you see the dash 2 amendments?
Yes. Three.
Dash 3 amendments.
Yes, I just got that handed to me as I walked
now,
in.
Now, what? I have to know your opinion on the dash 3 amendments.
No, those just came to us. Let me clarify. I got the dash 3 amendments about 5 minutes before committee.
That's when I did too, Chair Walker.
Well, the author of the dash 3s is sitting right there.
Uh-huh. Why don't you come forward? And could you please identify yourself and explain to me why I didn't know about the Dash 3s?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Teddy Kaiser. I'm on the staff of Senator Joanne Berger's office, and we're the chief sponsors of Senate Bill 860. This was a proposal that had come up during the work group that we felt was a good proposal that would give more substance to the Dash 2 amendments, that it would go in concert in addition to the Dash 2 amendments. It's our office's feeling that the Dash 2 amendments are not substantially different enough from what the federal government's already doing. That it that we need to, if we're going to pass a law that has more substance in it. So the purpose of the Dash 3 amendments is to fix a problem that we have today in our schools, that we have very inconsistent food policies. Food can be allowed or not allowed in the cafeteria and have a different policy in the hallway. It's our belief that if food is being deemed as unhealthy for our students in the cafeteria, but still unhealthy in the hallway, if it's unhealthy at noon, it's unhealthy at 12:15 when they stop serving the federal lunch program.
Madam Chair?
Yes,
yeah, we've already heard all this stuff. I'm just wondering why. I mean, I've been a committee chair for a lot of years, and I was just wondering why an amendment would show up at the last minute without notifying the chair it was coming.
I'm sorry for that. We just got this. I got it myself just 15 minutes ago. We had turned it in.
Mr. Kaiser, that's an important point. Let me follow up on it, please. I don't mean to embarrass you at all. You were present at the hearing on Monday, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you knew that we were going to draft an amendment based on what we were discussing, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know at that time that you would like to draft your own amendment?
No, it was yesterday when we turned in the amendment.
Okay. Mr. Kaiser, it would have been appropriate yesterday for you to talk with me about that, because I was here until 11 o'clock on Monday evening drafting the Dash 2 amendment and getting that to Legislative Council. I stayed here until after 11. You drafted this amendment yesterday and you didn't share it with me. It would have been appropriate to do so.
I'm sorry.
Madam Chair,
mm-hmm.
Now that we're through balling them out, what about the substance of the draft twos? I'm concerned about the substance.
Well, that we'll get to that, Mr. or Senator Morissette. So would you like to ask him a question about the substance?
Well, I think he's explained the substance, and I think that it does add some certainty, and it covers a broader swath, I think, than the Dash twos. I think it would be a good companion piece. I think it should be considered. After all, this is Senator Berger's bill. Her name is on it as the chief co-sponsor. And I think that she should be, she obviously has her representative here to speak for her. And I think that this should be given due consideration.
I think we are giving it due consideration, Senator Morissette, and I appreciate that comment. And if you had another question, I'll let you ask it. Otherwise, no. I'll ask a question or two. Mr. Kaiser, you said that this is more substantive, that we have inconsistent food policies. If you look at the Dash 2, it indicates that on the first page, on line 9 through line 20, that nutrition guidelines and standards for all foods available, that we will develop this wellness policy for all foods available for sale during the school day. And it lists a number of issues for schools to consider when developing that. How do you think the Dash 3 is better than the Dash 2? Because it seems to me that the Dash 2 is doing what you're asking.
The Dash 2s, we're not saying that they shouldn't be passed. We're saying that by themselves they're not enough.
That's my question. I don't understand, because you're saying in the dash three, each school district board shall adopt a policy. Well, we're asking people to do that in dash two as well, so I'm not tracking with you. I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, the dash twos don't say that the policies are consistent. You can have a policy that you have exclude different foods in the cafeteria than you do in the hallways. And that's what the dash threes address.
I see.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Starr, please feel free.
The way the two amendments are drafted, it seems to me that they're not compatible, that we would have to have redrafting because we're seeing in both the dash two and the dash three, we're eliminating the bill. But then we're starting both amendments with section one. So I guess if we were to contemplate both amendments, we would have to have them redrafted before we could go forward.
Senator Starr, you are very observant and astute.
I think that we're clearing up this bill further. We changed the date of enactment by putting an emergency clause from the dash threes. I would be of the opinion that we should move the dash twos and move the bill forward by replacing the bill with the dash two amendments.
Thank you, Senator Starr. That was also a very astute observation that the emergency clause would require school districts to adopt that policy by July 1 of this year, which is pretty darn quick, which would preclude essentially communities from having community involvement as the federal law even requested, because they can't get it done that quickly. Senator Starr, did you make a motion?
We are in work session.
Yeah, I thought we had the motion on the dash two.
We didn't have the motion yet. We just started discussing it, but
I moved dash two amendments to Senate Bill 860.
Okay. Senator Starr moves the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 860. We will now continue discussion on that. Did you have a question, Senator Morsette?
Yeah. Well, we're in work session. I have a comment. I understand the emergency clause. I think what the dash twos do is it unequivocally says that there is basically no difference between what you're serving in the cafeteria and what you're serving in the hallway. I think that point needs to be made. I think that should be part of the final product. Obviously, there would have to be some changes made. And
you said the dash twos.
The dash threes.
I meant the dash threes.
I meant the dash threes.
Right,
should be part of the final product, because I think they do unequivocally state that point that we are all trying, part of us are trying to make this an effective bill. There are some timelines that you have that I think are significant, but I think the bottom line is consistency inside that building, at least during school hours. Now, granted that when school is out and there are sporting events and different kinds of things happening, that would not apply, but during school hours, and so there would have to be some changes made to the dash threes, but I guess for what it's worth, my support of this whole thing depends upon integrating some of that language into the dash twos. So that's my recommendation.
All right. You're also observant and astute, Senator Morissette. We are under deadlines, and this bill dies today or it moves forward today, and it will not be held over. I would like to point out that on line 9 and 10, it does say that these guidelines and standards will be developed for foods available for sale during the school day. So all foods, if there was a desire to make that, say, consistent policy for all schools, all foods throughout the school during the school day, that could have been suggested. It was not yesterday when I drafted, or Monday night when I drafted these. So Senator Starr's aptly pointed out the problems with the dash three. So I think the dash twos are on the table, and I've asked Mr. Williams to come forward and ask if those reflect the discussions that you've
had. Could I just make one point? Yeah, I didn't get these until during session today, the dash threes. I didn't really get them. They were drafted.
The dash two?
The dash twos I did not receive until session, so I didn't have a chance to go through them and do the due diligence, which I would have liked to have had. I'm not sure that this bill cannot be carried over with the permission of the president. I'm not sure that. In fact, I would suggest that it might be, but we'll. I won't argue that point. You're the chair.
Yeah, Senator Morissette, I appreciate that. It will not be held over.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, David Williams with the Oregon School Boards Association. It is my understanding the dash twos do reflect the discussions that you had, and they reflect all of the concerns that we had with the original bill. We believe the dash twos create a really good process for districts to go through in developing these policies, in effect enhancing the federal requirements of a wellness policy, and will provide an outlet for all of the very well-intended nutrition advocates to be more involved in their schools, in their communities, and for parents and students and all parties in their communities to be involved in the development of that policy for their district. To that extent, we have no objection to the dash twos. The dash threes, the language about consistency, what that would in effect do is it would ban foods of minimal nutrition value district-wide, as federal law requires districts to not serve foods of minimal nutrition value in locations where the federal meal is either being served or consumed. Therefore, that would be, in effect, become the minimum standard district-wide were the dash threes to become in effect. We also have concerns about some of our K-12 schools when they're housed on one campus, that a lot of times a district will want varying policies for the different grade levels, as well as concerns, frankly, for our teacher's lounge, where we sell very much different products or provide an opportunity for our employees to consume different products than the products we provide to students.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Colleagues, at your desk is a copy of the federal listing, Part 210, Appendix B to Part 210, Categories of Foods of Minimal Nutritional Value. We discussed those briefly on Monday. I will go over those again. Soda water, water ices, chewing gum, certain candies. The certain candies are hard candy, like sour balls, fruit candy, lollipops, jellies and gums such as gummy bears, marshmallow candies, fondant such as candy corn, licorice spun candy such as cotton candy, and candy-coated popcorn. Those are foods of minimal nutritional value. I would allege and alleged before and argue, actually, that those will not impact obesity as much as the fattening foods, the cookies, the chips, the nachos, the candies, and all of those other things. And as I indicated, I was frustrated by trying to decide what to ban and what not to ban, and decided that we're supposed to draw the big picture, the local districts duke it out, and have community involvement. I made a big effort to ensure the community involvement. I think I took that cue from Ms. Henrich. So they are public meetings to promote a strategy for community engagement. So I think I've I've done what you asked in terms of at least going to that level, and I've now gotten confirmation of that. So thank all three of you. Any other questions of these three?
No.
Okay, then you can step back. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Senator Cruz?
Just comment, Madam Chair, and I want to thank you for your work on the bill. I didn't support, but I am going to support the Dash 2 amendment, and the reason is because it still leaves the decision at the local level where it should be, and basically we are codifying federal standards, which is appropriate. And I agree with you, the Dash 3s do have a problem. I can't imagine with the inclusion of the Dash 3s you can no longer get a pack of gum on a school ground, but that would be the case. And but Madam Chair, I'd also say that I've got a huge frustration here because we're talking about childhood obesity and we're focusing on schools, and that's not where it happens. I wish we were having the discussion of child obesity in other arenas where it actually does happen. We seem to, when we come across a social situation like this, we seem to migrate to schools as a place to fix it. And I would submit that most of the children with problems of obesity have those problems before they reach middle school, which is where they first run into these machines. And it's more lifestyle, it's more what happens at home than it is what happens at school. And my frustration, Madam Chair, is if you're going to deal with a problem, and obesity certainly is one, that you ought to be dealing with it where you can have the greatest impact, and I just don't think schools are the place.
Thank you. Senator Morsett?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's interesting, Maria Montessori, when she started her system in the slums of one of the Italian cities, did it as much to educate the parents as to educate the children, with the idea that the children would learn the proper attitudes, the proper educational tools, and take them home. I think this is the case, that we have a captive audience in an educational educational situation, and that this is I see this as a health issue, health and welfare safety issue, that the state has every right to become involved in and to lay down some important guidelines that the children learn from, thereby helping to educate the parents. I think that, you know, obesity is a result of many things outside of the school, but the school is the place that they spend their learning years, and what they experience there, I think, there are lifelong habits. So I think we have every right and obligation to do what we can to implement this. Now, as far as local control and state guidelines, you know, that's what we're here for. We are here to provide guidelines in many, many, many areas, and we do it all the time, particularly in health and safety areas and educational standards and so on. So, yes, I understand the difference. I came from local government. I'm concerned about local control, but I think that the health and safety of the children tipped the scale, I think, to some legislative guidelines. And I would like to take more time to talk about the integration of these and adding a few words that I think would make this a good bill. I'm sorry to say I will have to vote against the Dash 2 amendments.
Any other comments? I would like to say that I agree with both my colleagues, and Senator Cruz, you pointed out made a very good point that it's not just at the schools where these kids are getting fat. They're learning this stuff at home. In fact, the study that we had from the young kids from Springfield High School showed that they were getting their sodas from home. And not just soda, it's everything that we eat. That's why, to me, it was so important to involve the community, because unless we get parents involved in the discussion about how our children are becoming obese, then we don't really accomplish much because we can't ask our schools to do everything. Our schools are partners in the community and in what we promote to our children. So having a open and public meeting, I see my own community of Eugene being very active in that discussion. They're a very activist community, very involved in issues of school and local government. So I expect them to really appreciate the opportunity to be involved in this discussion. And Senator Starr, move the dash 2. No one else has any other comments. So since there's an objection on the record, Ms. Tuso, could you call the roll on the dash 2 amendment, please?
Senator Decker?
Aye.
Senator Grube?
Aye.
Senator Morissette?
No.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Senator Walker?
Aye. Dash 2s are approved. Senator Starr, do you have another motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 860 as amended to the floor with the DuPass recommendation.
Senator Starr moves Senate Bill 860 as amended to the floor of the Senate with a DuPass recommendation. Any discussion? I want to thank all the parties who spent time with me working on this language and working on this bill. It's a good issue, and it's an issue that everyone around the country is concerned about, and I think we have some legislation that can pass both chambers and that actually does have some teeth in it and will have make some progress on childhood obesity. Would you please call the roll, Don?
Senator Decker?
Aye.
Senator Grube?
Aye.
Senator Morissette?
No.
Aye. Senate Bill 860, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed in this committee and is moved to the floor of the Senate with a, it's just moved to the floor of the Senate. And since the proponent or supporter of the bill does not support the bill now, I will carry it. And this committee we'll be adjourned in a moment, but colleagues, this is the last day of our committee for some time. I don't know when we're going to meet again. It depends on the flow of bills from the House, but this time it does not look like we're going to come back for quite a while. So I would
We're going to have a committee party before we...
Well, I would think that we will do that because we deserve it, and it's always quite fun to do that. But there are no House bills in our committee right now. They're gone. We put them out. We voted them out. So until we get some work, colleagues, I would like you to make use of your Monday and Wednesday afternoons from 3 to 5 in whatever manner you wish. And I very much appreciate your attentiveness, your late hours, and your hard work.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You
have run the meetings incredibly well. I've been impressed.
Thank you, Senator.
And I don't want Senator Morissette to bring the refreshments at our party.
No, we want something good.
Have Senator Starr bring.
Very tasty.
All right. We are adjourned. Thank you all.